Hello and welcome to Industrial Heating's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute, a bi-monthly podcast sponsored by Solar Manufacturing. Learn more about vacuum heat treatments by visiting www.solarmfg.com.
We recently published a short article that appears on Industrial Heating's website, which explains how important proper vacuum furnace preventive maintenance is for heat treaters. In the article, we covered the basic procedures that heat treaters should perform daily, weekly, and monthly to keep their vacuum furnaces operating in top working condition. Bill, as important as these maintenance essentials are, there are other mission-critical problems that heat treaters face in their plant operations from time to time. We are, of course, talking about potentially catastrophic events, which no amount of preventive maintenance can overcome. Forces like weather are beyond our control. Last summer, those of us along the East Coast suffered nearly a week of lost production due to Hurricane Sandy. And heat treaters should know how to react to these events, like the loss of utilities, to mitigate their effects because they can cause significant disruption and damage. So let's talk about a total plant power outage due to, say, an ice storm or a summer electrical storm. What does a vacuum furnace user need to know about their equipment when the lights go out and water pumps shut down? What should an operator do when a furnace is in the middle of a quench?
Well, this can be, as you've already indicated, somewhat of a frightening experience, particularly at night with all the lights out, all the pumps quiet, and everything is shut down. Fortunately, with the vacuum furnace, the furnace itself will completely shut down and close up. That is, all vacuum valves will close, power supplies go off, and the furnace will be idle and in a safe mode. That's the way they should be designed. The primary issue has to do with cooling water, and I would also say with plant lighting. Now, plant lighting should be taken care of with emergency lights or generators or whatever is required to maintain the plant itself. The cooling water is the major issue. With the loss of cooling water, if you've not provided for backup water, then you have to be concerned about maintaining water cooling on the vessel, which may not be necessary depending on the condition of the furnace. That is, what it was doing. The big issue is if you have a number of vacuum furnaces online, let's say a dozen furnaces, which one do you go to first? That always is a decision that the operator has to make in order to determine what he wants to do. If you're running a high-temperature run in a furnace, then that furnace should have first priority. If you have one that's being loaded, well, of course, you don't have to worry about that. Or if you have one in the middle of a high-temperature quench, that's another issue. One thing that can be done is to open all the doors in the plant and get plenty of air circulation in the building. If you've not made water provisions, water cooling provisions, and you can put fans on the chamber that may be potentially overheated. Now, not to worry, because a vacuum furnace chamber is big, massive, and the work comparatively in the furnace is relatively light, so that the water in the furnace chamber will not boil immediately. It will take time for that to occur. So you have some time to go about whatever you need to do to secure the situation.
When power is restored and lights are back on, what does an operator need to do to restart a vacuum furnace?
Restarting is easier than in a shutdown. The furnaces won't start themselves, so you have to restart sequentially each individual furnace. You have to first start up the vacuum pumping system and get the furnace back under vacuum, or if it's been in a quench mode, it will automatically, well, it won't automatically, but when you start the process cycle back again, the furnace will backfill to the pressure you were operating, and then you can start the gas blower. So that's somewhat easy. Now once the let's say it's an you have been in a vacuum heat treat cycle and you're mid cycle, and you're restarting. Once you obtain the proper vacuum level and everything else is normal, then you want to bring the furnace back back to heat. And you don't want to do that just abruptly with a big power surge. So you want to put the programmer temperature controller into manual and manually bring the power back more or less in a soft start mode Once the furnace temperature is back close to the set point, you can put it back on automatic and the programmer will automatically take over and put you back into the run mode. That's the most important things to be concerned about.
Now, how about when water pressure fails and there's a complete loss of cooling water? What should an operator do when a furnace is, say, up to temperature with a heavy workload?
Let me preempt that to say that no furnace should be allowed to operate without a backup water cooling system. This sometimes is a diaphragm pump, and my preference actually is an electric generator that runs the water pumps so that you can run at least one of your water pumps in a slow mode so you continue to have some recirculating water through the vacuum chambers. Doesn't have to be at full pressure, but at least you maintain some water flow. The diaphragm compressors are a problem because if you must run them on a source that's consistent. Most people run these off of their liquid nitrogen, and with a big heavy diaphragm pump, you run the risk of the pump freezing up from this very cold gas coming over into the pump. Now, back to the original question, if you do not have these backup sources, then you must maintain some kind of cooling depending on where the furnace, what part of the cycle the furnace was in. You have to maintain some water cooling or air cooling or whatever on the chamber. So here again, if you have a number of vacuum furnaces, you select the one that was operating in the most critical mode and you address that. The others you may not be concerned about. So really, some sort of a preemptive plan on cooling water is the best solution, and that will prevent a lot of headaches in the restart and concern of the water system.
Now, let's say that a valve fails to open or the liquid gas supply lines freeze due to a malfunction of an evaporator, and there's a complete loss of inert gas supply. What should an operator do then?
Right. Most of our furnaces, we run the air system, or the pneumatics, as we call them, all the valves, the vacuum valves and so forth, are on air compressed, which is not preferable. The preferable way is running on backup gas, either liquid nitrogen preferred or argon. Argon's very expensive, so we don't like to run pneumatics on argon. However, assuming it's nitrogen and assuming we had some sort of a failure in the liquid nitrogen supply system, which can happen, or even with someone running off of bottles, they may run the bottles out of gas, and now you have no gas running the furnace. The general condition is the furnace itself will shut down. There's alarms, pressure switches that are interlocked with the air system so that at a minimum the furnace will ring an alarm, or it may be designed to shut the furnace down on loss of pneumatics or on loss of nitrogen. Nitrogen systems have had situations where they will freeze up, and that is the possibility where you get liquid nitrogen itself over into a reservoir tank or even up into the gas lines into the furnace. That is a very dangerous situation because very cold liquid nitrogen can cause cracking, and there have been instances where a reservoir tank has actually cracked and blown up because of getting liquid nitrogen over. Now, this is generally a failure of the design of the evaporator part of the liquid nitrogen or liquid argon system. A very rare occurrence. It has happened, but it is to be avoided. One thing to do is to make sure you keep your reservoir tanks outside of the plant and not inside the plant. So if there is anything that could go wrong, at least it doesn't blow up and explode or have a catastrophic failure within the plant itself. Most of these situations where you'd have that kind of a condition are, again, it goes back to the initial design and installation of the furnace.
Thanks for listening to Industrial Heating's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute, sponsored by Solar Manufacturing. Find this and other Industrial Heating podcasts at www.industrialheating.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.